We can have the house without the city. We can have the house without the city. But the city of the New Jerusalem, the wall is jasper. Transformed precious stone, right? Transformed precious stone. And that represents the transformation of our will by the subduing of our will. As our will is subdued to the heavenly ruling, it becomes transformed and it becomes transparent. It's not opaque anymore. It becomes transparent, shining with God. I tell you, there's nothing more important than a useful will to the Lord. A useful will. A useful mind is good. But without a useful will, there can be no bringing in of the kingdom of God. This is the crucial focal point of the heavenly ruling. It's in our will. So sometimes we just need to yield our will to the Lord, regardless of our feeling, regardless of our emotion, even regardless of our thinking. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to feel good about it. We just have to submit. We just have to submit our will. If we could learn this lesson, then the wall is built up. This is how the wall is built up. And the wall is built up to a certain point. It stirs up the enemy. And then they returned eventually. When the enemy came with his proposal and so on, they set the watch and all the things, and they prepared and they prayed to the Lord, and then we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. Everyone unto his work. Dear brothers and sisters, everyone has to build the wall of Jerusalem. Everyone has to build the wall. From the youngest to the oldest. Young people, learn to submit your will. Why does the Bible say, children, obey your parents? That's a promise in the Bible with a blessing. If you obey your parents, it will be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. That's a marvelous promise in the Bible. Why? Because if you learn to subdue your will, submit your will to your parents, you will build up the wall of Jerusalem. We all know where is the point. We all know who is the one that we have the problem with. Among the brothers, even among leading brothers. I was in New York at one point. We had 7 leading brothers at one point for a short period of time. And I tell you, with certain brothers, I had no problem to go along with them. But with other brothers, I have a problem. One of my problems was my brother-in-law. He was one of them, right? And he's younger than I am, right? But the Lord knows how to arrange. He knows how to arrange in the church life. And today it's this one, and tomorrow it's that one. And I thought I was in the frying pan in New York, and then I got to Anaheim. Out of the frying pan into the fire. My goodness. And then at that period of time in Anaheim, even there was someone taking the lead who was not so proper. Who was not so proper. Then what shall you do? You say, well, he's wrong. He's not proper. I wouldn't submit. No. No. Eventually, especially let me say this to the young people, you just need to learn to submit yourself. Whether the person is right or wrong, that's another matter. That's up to the Lord. That's up to the Lord. I don't mean you should do anything sinful. I don't mean you should do anything immoral. Anything idolatrous. Anything that would offend God. No. There were times when I had to say no. But, although I could not obey, yet I submitted. Yet I submitted. I didn't rebel. I didn't rebel. Whatever I couldn't obey, I said to that one alone. He knew. But no one else knew. You see? There were some things. Sometime he came to me and said, I want you to do this. And I said, that was against my conscience. something against my conscience I felt would offend God. I said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. But I said it in a nice, submissive way. Then he said, Brother Lee wants you to do that. Then I said, dear brother, if in fact Brother Lee wants me to do that, then please ask Brother Lee to tell me himself, and I will explain to him. This is to keep a submissive will, even when we wouldn't obey. You see, but those instances are very few. Many of the things we consider matters of our conscience actually are matters of our opinion. You see? And it's your opinion that needs to go. It's just a matter of opinion how to do things. Actually, tell you the truth, Brother Gene was there. I believe he should have realized or could testify for me that I was not rebellious, even to the wrong person. Did you have that realization? See? Inwardly, I exercised myself. I did not go along. Brother Gene could testify that. I did not go along in a number of things. I'm not being proud, but I'm just illustrating because this is my experience. See? This is my experience. And this is one of the questions that got asked Brother Lee in 1978. See? Should we submit if the leading one is wrong? And Brother Lee said, yes. He said, you should submit as much as possible without offending God in your conscience. You see? But actually, I could testify over the... And that was the second time I was under a wrong person. In New York, there was a wrong person. But I wouldn't rebel. I would have a submissive attitude. Even in certain things, I wouldn't go along. You see? We all need to learn this lesson. We all need to learn this lesson. Brother Lee covers this in Life Message. Gary, which one is it? That point. Is it number 11? Is that one number 11? Anyway, it's one of the early Life Messages. Brother Lee covers this point. And a question was asked, and he answers it. And another question was asked, and he answered. Two questions in that Life Message at the beginning. I think it's either Message 4 or Message 11. Do you have it with you? No. Okay. Anyway, you could find it easily if you have the Life Messages. There's a crucial point on this. There's a crucial point on this. You see? He said, we all need to learn the lesson of submission. You need to submit to your boss. You need to submit. He told the young people, you must submit to your boss. You must submit to your teachers. You must submit to whoever the Lord puts over you in your human life. Even humanly. I could strongly testify that I had one or two very strong bosses. And they had their way to do things. And by learning to do things their way, my will got subdued for the building of the wall of Jerusalem. Even in my job. I had a boss, and I had an executive position. I got an executive position. And he wanted every memo I wrote that was going to go out to our... I had a department and 15 branch offices. I was in business for 12 years. And about halfway through, I came into a very responsible position. And I wrote circulars to all the insurance companies in America and this and that, and to our branch offices. And when I began to work for him, although I was the head of the department, he said, I want to see everything that you write before it goes out. So I sent it. But what that meant was, it came back with the red pencil all over it. Everything I wrote got rewritten. How about that? And I was the boss of my department. But he was my boss. You want to know something? That was marvelous to me. I praise the Lord for that boss. He was so demanding. He was so particular. Everything had to be just a certain way. And that was his way, not my way. So eventually I learned to do everything his way. My will got subdued. My will did get subdued. I could testify. The Lord could testify to me. My will got subdued. Eventually I learned to do everything his way. And then after a couple of years, he told me, okay, don't bother sending me the stuff anymore. Because everything I did was his way. Everything I did was according to his way, not according to my opinion. It's not a matter of conscience, it's a matter of opinion. And our opinion needs to be crossed out. And our will needs to be subdued. This is the building of the wall of Jerusalem. I'd like to make this very practical for you young brothers and sisters. Right? And not only for the young brothers and sisters. Why have you had so much trouble in the Lord's recovery in 10 years? Because of the opinion of your mind and because of the lack of transformation of your will. You still hold your opinion, you call it conscience. That's not the conscience. In all the years, I could honestly say not that many things have been matters of conscience. Not that many things offend God in His nature. No one ever asked me to worship an idol. No one ever asked me to do something immoral. No. But a lot of people ask me to do things their way. That's the rub. Then I say, my conscience won't let me. That's baloney. Sorry, that's baloney. Your opinion won't let you. You don't want to give up your opinion. You think you have a better way. Especially when we were young. We were young people. Well, okay, now I was accused of not telling any stories this weekend. So now I'll tell you a story. But I already told you this story, right? How lightning struck? I tell you how I get hit by lightning? Oh, not here. Okay, see, I don't remember where I told what story. So, 1960. I was a young man in 1960. 1960. Brother Lee was visiting New York. And we young people made the habit to... I was a young person in 1960. And we were the young people. And we made the habit to have lunch together every Lord's Day and fellowship and meet together. And we invited Brother Lee to come with us. And it was in my brother-in-law's home. And we were sitting there. I don't know. There may have been 20 or 30 young people. Do you remember? There may have been 25 of us or something like that. Having lunch. We went to the table, we got our food and sat down in little circles, and Brother Lee was there, and one of the other brothers was there, and one or two of the sisters was there. And we young people always knew better than the leading ones. And especially one of the leading ones was my father. And I always knew better than my father when I was young. Right? And the fact is that in addition to my father and to another leading one, there were two other leading ones who didn't know what they were doing. That's a fact. Young brothers, sooner or later, God will put you under some elders who don't know what they're doing. That's God's arrangement. So... I turned to Brother Lee, was sitting right next to me. I got the seat right next to him because I had something to say to him. We young people spent a lot of time talking over the situation. So I was the spokesman. I put my head on the block. And I started to tell him about the leading ones, including my father. I would say maybe especially my father. And I began to speak some things to him. And he turned to me and he said, Brother Eugene, remember the sin of Ham. And he turned to the brother on the other side and changed the whole conversation. He wouldn't receive anything I had. And it was as if lightning went from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I mean, I got hit by lightning. Because I knew the story of Ham. You know the story of Ham in the Bible? How Ham was the son of Noah. Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, right? Remember? And after the flood, one day, Noah got drunk. Now, he shouldn't have gotten drunk. That was wrong. And then he lay naked in the tent, and he should not have laid naked in the tent. He was drunk, and he was naked. And his son Ham came in and saw him, and he went out and told everybody. He exposed his father's failure. And the curse came on Ham because of that. And the other two brothers, Shem and Japheth, they took a blanket and they walked in backwards without looking, and they just covered him up and they walked out. And the blessing came to Shem and to Japheth. So I knew the story. Because I knew the truth of the Bible, lightning could strike. You do not need to know the truth. That's why I encourage you, read these books. Then lightning can strike. That was the first time lightning struck. That was the first time lightning struck. Because I was expressing my opinion and raising up my strong will. It would not be subdued. The brothers wanted to do things a certain way, and I wouldn't go along. It had nothing to do with my conscience. It was altogether a matter of opinion and stubborn will. And lightning struck. Lightning struck. Actually, we all need lightning to hit us. I got hit, because I was a hard case, I got hit 3 times by lightning. In this kind of way. The first time it was regarding my father. The second time it was regarding Brother Lee. And the third time it was regarding another brother who was over me. So I got to know. I got a nose for lightning. I can smell it coming. You see, eventually I can smell it coming, and I learn how to avoid it. Just go along. Just say amen. Just submit. Just submit your will. That's the building of the wall of Jerusalem. This is very practical this morning. We have to have this kind of view. Brothers and sisters, I hope I could save you from being hit by lightning, but the fact is, until you've been hit by lightning, you won't know. You won't know. Sooner or later, you'll get hit by lightning. That will be a blessing to you. That will be a real blessing to you. You know, when lightning strikes, it puts ozone in the air. It does have a kind of smell after lightning strikes, right? There's a kind of something in the air. Of course, there's something been singed that's in the air, too. But I can smell it coming sometimes, especially with the young brothers. My goodness. You see, after you've been hit by lightning a couple of times, you can smell rebellion. You can smell rebellion. It's in all our blood. This rebellious will, this stubborn will, this unsubdued will, it's in all of us. I hate it in me, and I can smell it when it's somewhere else. I'll tell you the truth. But that doesn't mean that then I go bring down lightning. No, I don't mean that. But I pray a lot for young brothers. When I get a certain smell in my nostrils, I pray for those young brothers. You see, this is the building of the wall of Jerusalem. Otherwise, it's not very practical. This is quite practical. Right? Just learn to go along. Even if the person is wrong, many things, I just submitted myself, even to a wrong person. Then I gained. Eventually, those two persons I mentioned are not in the Lord's recovery even today. They're not here today. But I'm here today. Because even when the Lord put me with a wrong person, to submit is always right. To submit is always right. Not to do something against God. I don't mean that. But those instances were very few and far between. So eventually, I carried out under that leadership, even both in New York and also in Anaheim, I carried out everything I could with a clear conscience before God. So, young brothers and sisters, and old brothers and sisters, and in-between brothers and sisters, all of you, right, all of us, we still need to learn this. Tell you the truth, I'm still learning this. Those years in Anaheim were marvelous to me. You see, the first year and a half, almost the first 2 years, there was a wrong person there. Of course, after that, there was a right person. There was a right person. Whether the person is right or whether the person is wrong, there's always a person. There's always someone and someone taking the lead. You see? And we need to learn this. Now, I'm not building up a kind of hierarchy or control. I don't mean that. I'm stressing submission. Don't take my word and use it on others. No. Don't do that. Don't go home, brothers, and tell your wife. Now, Brother Gene says that you need to submit. If you want to go home and tell your wife something, go tell her that I told you to submit to her. You know what I mean? And submission is an attitude. It's an attitude. If there isn't a mutual submission in a family, it's over. It's over. It doesn't mean anybody controls anybody, but it means there's an attitude of going along with each other. In some things, although my wife and I have been married 30 years this year, there are still one or two things in which we don't see eye to eye. We see eye to eye in most things today, I tell you the truth. But there are still one or two things, especially involving colors and decorating and this kind of thing. I don't know. We just don't see eye to eye. So we have to go along with each other. I have to go along with her, and she has to go along with me. Then we have a peaceful situation. Mutual submission produces a peaceful situation. Right? Then the wall is built, and the enemy can't come in. I could never forget. I'll tell you another story. One of the biggest battles we had in the eldership in New York City was over the color of the tile in the men's room. And over the color of the carpet and over the color of the drapes. And my brother-in-law and I just did not see eye to eye, and we're both in the responsibility at that time. And we fought it out. But you know what? Eventually, I'll tell you the truth, I gave in. And I gained. Anyway, he had to give it another time. But eventually, I just said, okay, it's okay. Of course, first I did it grudgingly, just to settle the matter. But then later on, the Lord touched me. From your heart, you have to see me. From your heart, you have to see me. Just be happy. I got very happy. You want to know something? That was the right choice. I must be colorblind or something. You see? We don't know it. We think we have 20/20 sight, but actually we're blind. Anyway, a lot of practical things. I could tell a lot of stories along this line. But this is for the building of the wall of Jerusalem. This is how the divine authority is established. This is how the kingdom is brought from the heavens to the earth. This is the building up of the wall. So, on the one hand, read Nehemiah. On the other hand, just go back and submit. You see? Just go back and submit. Eventually, listen, eventually, out of such a Christ, out of the enjoyment of such a Christ, the house is built. And out of the life and enjoyment in such a house, the wall of Jerusalem is built. The city is built. And eternally, these three become one thing. Christ and the house and the city are eternally one, the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem has walls of jasper and the foundation stones of all precious stones. Transformation. By the transformation of our mind and our will, the city is built with the wall issuing in the New Jerusalem. This will bring the Lord back. This will be the eternal expression of the mingling of God and man. God needs to be mingled with our spirit, with our emotion, with our mind, and with our will. Then we become the transformed stones, the wall of jasper, shining and expressing God. And outside is everything other than God. And inside is God. And the city is the house. There's no temple in the city because God and the Lamb are there. Amen. Praise the Lord. The house becomes the city, right? The city is the tabernacle of God with man. But there's no temple anymore. The temple grows into the city eternally. And God is there. And this is a city of life. In such an environment, you have in the center of the city the throne of God and of the Lamb. You have the divine authority eternally established. And you have the flowing of the river of life. And you have the tree of life. And you have the eating of life. And you have the drinking of life. Praise the Lord. This is God's eternal expression in the universe. And this is what we're here building up today. By the enjoyment of such a Christ. By the building of the house of God. By the building of the wall of Jerusalem. We will bring the new Jerusalem down. Hallelujah. We are here building the city of God. Building the eternal city of God. As the dwelling place of God and man forever. The mingling of God and man. This is what the dispensing is for. The dispensing of the triune God. It's for the building of the house that grows into the city. Praise the Lord. Do you see it this weekend? This is the building. This is the building. This is the building of God for all eternity. The enemy is gone. Hallelujah. When this city comes down, the enemy is gone. All the negative things are gone. God has an eternal expression. And we are it. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Don't you like to be God's eternal expression?
Amen.
The eternal expression of the life of God.
Amen.
The eternal expression of the throne of God.
Amen.
Built up in us. I tell you, we need it built up today. If it doesn't get built up today, it'll get built up tomorrow. You can take the short course or the long course. Right? You either have the rest of your life to get this work done, or you have 1,000 years. There's two courses. There's plan A and plan B. Which do you want?
Plan A.
Which do you want?
Plan A.
The rest of your life is just enough time.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
I have enough time.
Amen.
I have enough time to enjoy Christ.
Amen.
To build a house.
Amen.
Full of life and enjoyment.
Amen.
To get my will subdued.
Amen.
Under the headship of Christ.
Amen.
To build up the wall of Jerusalem.
Amen.
To bring heaven to earth.
Amen.
We're not going to heaven.
Right.
We're bringing it down.
Amen.
We're bringing the new Jerusalem down.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come. Again. Thy kingdom come. It has to come every day so it can come eternally.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
You see something this weekend?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, you just got the appetizer. So go back and go to the Lord and go to the Word and be impressed and read in detail and let the Lord touch you with all of these points so that God's house and God's city could be built. And the Lord could have a way. This is our cooperation. On His side, everything's ready. We offer Him our cooperation. Lord, subdue my will. You need to pray that way. Lord, subdue my will. Subdue my will. And listen, when the Lord touches you, you will go home and there will be a note there someday. You know what I mean? There will be a sovereign arrangement of God. And you will know that's the test. That's the test. There will be a test. Tomorrow morning, when you go to the office, there will be a test. When you go to school, you go to school tomorrow? When you go to school, there will be a test. I don't mean necessarily a written test, but the teacher will say something. The boss will say something. The wife will say something. The husband will say something. The children will say something. The elders will say something. The brothers and sisters will say something. Someone will say something, and you will know. Then that becomes the test. This is a conference. A sister gave a testimony. It was quite good. She mentioned this training. Actually, every conference is a kind of training, right? And after a training comes a test. Right? I'm not giving the test. The Lord would give the test. Right? I hope we could all pass the test. Then the house and the city can be built up. Now, those who have such a long way to go, we gave them the liberty to leave, but that doesn't mean the meeting has to end. We still have a good time this morning. So you can do some speaking. This word needs some speaking. Try. I realized last night that was a little difficult, right, to speak. I wasn't bothered by that. But this morning you must try to speak because this is a matter of your will. Even speaking is a matter of your will, right? Speaking is altogether a matter of your will. It's not just a matter, even if you feel the pump, pump, pump. Don't wait for the pump, pump, pump. If you have it, it's good. If you don't have it, it's better. You know why I say that? Not because I'm against the pump, 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 but because if you don't have the pump, 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 you speak by your will. And your will get subdued and transformed. I can testify very often when I have to speak, even in a meeting, and give a message, I do it with my will first. Nothing stirring in my spirit. No pump, pump, pump. Sometimes it's that way, to my sensation. Of course, the Lord is there, right? And my spirit is exercised, but sometimes no pump, pump, pump. You know, no goosebumps down the spine. You know, none of that. Don't look for that. No, no. The Lord will take all that away until you exercise your will by faith. This will be the subduing and the transforming of your will for the building of Jerusalem. For even your speaking is the building of the wall. You just exercise your will and speak. Speak quickly, speak briefly, so that many saints could speak in this closing time. Okay? We like many saints to speak something briefly, to the point, with a strong will. Now I tell you to use a strong will and speak. Let your will be subdued by speaking. Okay? Then we could have a good enjoyment together, and those who need to go can go whenever they need to go. Okay? So we just have some more fellowship. Amen. Amen.